What is going on, Laker fans? Appreciate you guys tuning in. One straight hour of Lakers basketball. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, Laker fans. This is it. Not much basketball left. Not much regular season left. So obviously each one of these games incredibly important. No guests tonight. I'm going to spend some time just talking Lakers basketball with you. So I certainly just want to take as many calls as possible. There's a lot of really good topics to get into that we're going to spend some time on. Lakers 3-1 so far on this road trip. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I think 3-1 is fantastic. I think it's great. 18-8 in their last 26 games. Want to talk about if expectations have changed as far as what the expectations are for, you know, just kind of the way you were thinking about the Lakers before to how you're thinking about them now and your thoughts on that. And we'll talk about Bron and his 40-point performance yesterday, hitting 9 of 10 from the three-point line. So we'll get into all that. All right, let's start with this. 3-1 so far on the road trip. 3-1 so far on the road trip. I'll say this, and I think for me there's a couple things that stick out, but I was planning on, if you'd have told me they went 2-2 through these first four games, I'd be like, okay, you know what, I'll take that. I'll take that for a couple reasons. Part of the reason why I would take that is because you knew that you had two tough matchups that were part of the schedule. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. It's going to be two tough games. Obviously, we all know what happened in Milwaukee. Arguably the best win of the season that was without LeBron James. Double overtime thriller. Came back from 19 points down. Lakers kind of set the tone in that first road game in such a critical stage of the season. So I don't want to say from that point on they're playing with house money, but okay, now you just got to take care of the games that you're supposed to take care of. Memphis, Lakers took care of the game they were supposed to take care of. You know, we know Memphis is shorthanded. We know they got a lot of issues. We know what their situation is, missing so many key players. But for the Lakers, nobody's really here to kind of sympathize with Nutty. Nobody's going to sympathize with the Lakers if they have injuries or they have guys out. So it is what it is. It's part of the game. Nothing really you can do about it. Do about that from there. Then you got the Indiana Pacers. I heard a lot of people saying, you know, what a really bad game for the Lakers, and they lose to Indiana and how they lost to them. And this was a team that you had just put up 150 points on. You only score 90 against the Pacers on Friday night. I was not too worried about that loss. I just wasn't. I wasn't going to make a big deal about it. For me, I thought Indiana's not a bad team, number one. And number two, Lakers have been playing good ball. You're not going to go 6-0 on a road trip. That's just not typically going to happen. Indiana was good enough. Lakers were awful. Awful from the three-point line. 5 of 30 from three. So part of that has obviously a lot to do with the Lakers losing that game. For me, there was a lot of interest in yesterday's game. So yesterday afternoon, Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets. For me, I really, really was curious to see how the Lakers would respond after that loss to the Indiana Pacers. And if you've been following Lakers basketball all year long, I just heard BK and Beto talking a little bit about you know, how much they obviously are watching Lakers basketball, then you would know that the trend of Lakers basketball is, hey, you know what? Coming off a loss, they're actually not that bad. Lakers play pretty good coming off a loss. Yesterday against Brooklyn, they did exactly that. They just came right out the gate, didn't mess around. The score was 17-0 before Brooklyn finally got a bucket. And can somebody sit there and say, you know, yeah, Al, but they were up 26 and the lead went all the way down to 8. You're right. Not saying that you're wrong in that, but at any point did it feel like that game was in jeopardy? At any point did you feel like the Lakers were going to lose that game? Are there times where you still get frustrated about the Lakers? Absolutely you do. But 18-8 in their last 26 games, 3-1 so far to start off this road trip. All the Lakers can really do at this point is just handle their own business, and then whatever happens in the, you know, the rest of the NBA, some of the teams in front of them, you just got to kind of live with the results. That's the position that the Lakers put themselves in, and now they're trying to obviously dig out of that hole. Expectations. So here's a question that I want to throw out to Laker fans. Have the expectations changed at all over the last couple of months? So whatever your expectations were a couple months ago, how much has it changed today? Here's the reality. You go look at the standings, and it feels like the Lakers haven't moved at all. still ninth. That part to me is a little bit crazy, right? Just winning as many games as they have and starting to play some better basketball, being some good teams in the process as well. I'm not telling you again, by no means am I trying to tell you that this is perfect what the Lakers are doing. This is an ideal situation, but damn, 1-7 of their last 10, 3-1 on this road trip, 18-8 in their last 26. They're still sitting in ninth, and it doesn't look like probably most likely they're going to get any help today. Phoenix is in New Orleans. You need New Orleans to win that game, and it doesn't look like that's probably going to happen. But the reason why I bring this up about expectations is because DeMarco Farr and I were talking about this morning. Travis is out, so me and DeMarco were talking about it this morning, that have your expectations changed over this stretch of these last couple of months? Because a couple of months ago, I'd have told you that there's a very good chance Lakers aren't even going to make the playoffs. And that could still happen. I mean, even as well as they've been playing, you still got Sacramento and Phoenix and New Orleans and Dallas and Golden State, Houston, who finally lost a game against Dallas yesterday. You still got a lot of teams in the Western Conference that are playing good ball. If you take the Lakers' record, they're 9 games over .500. If you took their record, and this was last season, 9 games over .500 in the Western Conference last year would have you in fourth place in the West. This year it has you at ninth. And you're basically hanging on to ninth. Now, you're also trying to, you know, obviously move up. But I think the expectations have changed. I think everybody agrees that the one team everyone wants to avoid is the Denver Nuggets, especially for the Lakers, who have really, really struggled against Denver. Doesn't feel like anybody has an answer to them. But tell me another team in the Western Conference that you're basically saying that the Lakers got no shot against. Tell me another team in the West. If you say the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'd say, you know what? That's a fair argument. They're 30 games over .500. Lakers have already beat them 3 out of 4 times this year. If you tell me the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm down to listen to that argument, but don't tell me Karl-Anthony Towns is not a huge, huge piece for that team. Anybody want to tell me the Clippers? Look how inconsistent they've been. And even though they've won a couple games in a row now, they're all over the place. You got every other post-game interview talking about how they have no identity. Ty Lue is saying that they're soft. Okay, maybe you want to make an argument that, watch out, the Dallas Mavericks, that's the team that you want to avoid in the Western Conference. Well, first off, Lakers wouldn't play them in the first round anyways, at least the way it's looking. And number two, I'll take my chances against the Dallas Mavericks. They're on a heater, no question about it. They've won 7 games in a row, 9 of 10, but even the team that has been the nemesis to the Lakers, which is the Sacramento Kings, Sacramento has absolutely balled out against the Lakers. It's a really bad weekend for them. They lose 2 games against the Dallas Mavericks. They lose Malik Monk 4 to 6 weeks. Kevin Huerter is out for the year. Even the Sacramento Kings, who at one point you're like, man, you got to avoid them. I don't think there's much, and of course LeBron and Anthony Davis, there's never going to be real fear of them playing another team, but you might say, hey, that's a bad matchup, or we don't play good against that team. There's really no team right now in the Western Conference outside the Denver Nuggets that you can trust that doesn't have health issues. Now, Jamal Murray, I'm assuming Denver is just being very cautious what they're doing there because they know they can't make a run unless Jamal Murray's there, so we'll see what happens. But my expectations have turned to, well, if you could just avoid the Denver Nuggets, maybe you can get to the playoffs and win a round. Maybe you can make some noise. Maybe you can be a dangerous team, a problem for some of these other teams out there. And I don't think that's crazy to say anymore. I don't. I think it was crazy if you were trying to make that case a month and a half ago or a month ago. As much as the Lakers can lose in the first round of the playoffs, they can also win a round in the playoffs, potentially make some noise. And I don't think that's a stretch. I think they got a roster. I think they got a good team. I think LeBron and Anthony Davis, who have been there and obviously available, D'Lo certainly has his role. Austin Reeves is playing pretty consistent basketball. Rui Hachimura, every time I look at what Rui's doing, Rui's usually shooting 50 or 60% from the field. There's still a lot that has to happen, and I know the Lakers still got to finish out the regular season, and I know you got to eventually get out of this playing tournament, but at least you feel like the Lakers are getting hot and healthy at the right time, which is basically the foundation of any playoff run that you're going to be on. Hot and healthy at the right time. This is not uncommon in the NFL. You have to be the best team. It's got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time. In March Madness, kind of a similar thing. in all these sports, it's similar. You could be the Arizona Diamondbacks and run through the NL and get all the way to the World Series. Healthiest and the hottest at the right time. And the Lakers, at least at this point, it's not like they're stumbling into the playoffs. It's not like they're not growing as far as some of their confidence goes. It's not like that they don't have talent. It's not that they don't have superstars who understand how to win in the postseason. They have all that. Question's going to be, the Lakers have also, I think there was always hesitation with the Lakers and kind of trusting what this team is and how far this team can go. I get it if there's still hesitation there. But as for me, my expectations, how they've changed over the course of, call it, these last couple of months, I think they could actually make some noise now. I think they can be dangerous once they get to the playoffs. Like I said, they're still, you know, still got 7 regular season games left. You never know what can happen. You know, a couple of these games coming up, I don't want to hear any excuses about Toronto and Washington coming up. I don't want to hear play 3 games in 4 nights. I don't want to hear back-to-backs. I don't want to hear any of that. These are literally 2 of the worst teams in the league. Toronto's lost 13 games in a row. Washington is standing behind them and saying, yeah, but we've only won 14 games total. So both of those teams have been really, really bad this year. For me, I think some of those expectations are starting to change. If you got your thoughts, what are your expectations? How much has that changed over the course of the last couple of months? You could feel free to call in. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Okay, quick shout out here to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, one of our proud partners here on Lakers Talk. Appreciate everything that they do here. Lakers Talk is presented by Valvoline. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Okay, we come back. Take a couple phone calls here. We're live also on YouTube, so if you are part of that live stream right now, appreciate you guys hanging out. Feel free to put some comments there. I'll look into that. You could hit me on Twitter as well. Bron dropped 40 yesterday. Was 9 of 10 from the three-point line. But he said something yesterday that I don't know why this one kind of slapped me across the face. I'm aware of how old LeBron is. I'm also aware of how many years he's been in the league. But for some reason, Bron talking about his, you know, how close retirement can be, or as close as his career coming to an end can be, for some reason just kind of slapped me across the face. Poured some cold water on my face. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, Lakers got a game coming up tomorrow, so back-to-back for the Lakers. Early tip-off tomorrow, 4 o'clock will be tip-off. Pre-game show at 2:30, so keep that in mind, right in the heart of the afternoon. Lakers obviously a part of this East Coast road trip that they're on. Still a couple games left. A quick shout-out here, thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Just a quick reminder here, they are a partner of Lakers Talk. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. I was talking about expectations, and if the expectations have changed at all for Laker fans out there, if the way the Lakers have been playing, I kind of threw out some numbers, 3-1 on this 6-game road trip, 2 games left to go, fully expect the Lakers to continue their winning ways. They're playing awful teams coming up. 18-8 over their last 26 games, but they're not moving in the standings. That part is, you know, obviously a little bit surprising to have that much success, and it just kind of shows to how balanced and how tough the Western Conference is. It also shows how many bad teams there are in the East, how many bad teams are in the bottom of the Western Conference. So if you got your thoughts on your expectations for the Lake Show, 877-710-ESPN. Funch, what do you think? Your expectations change at all these last couple of months
definitely
with what the
changed.
Lakers have been
definitely
doing?
Definitely changed. Last month, I didn't think we were going to be working past April 15th.
Yep.
Yeah, but now I think we're going to be, you know, we could be going into May if we could. If we get the, you know, a good draw in the play-in tournament and also a good draw after the play-in tournament.
So I think that's the key thing right there. I'm not telling you that they still need things to go their way. I'm not telling you that they're, hey, you know, they're going to get back to the Western Conference Finals. I think the path has to open up for them. I think, you know, maybe a little bit luck goes their way. But I also don't think it's unrealistic to have the conversation, Funch, the way maybe a month ago or 2 months ago we would have looked stupid having the conversation, right? There is a little bit of a path to say, okay, if they continue to play the way they're playing, if they get some guys that come back, which I'll get into in a little bit, Gabe Vincent, especially Jared Vanderbilt.
Also play a favorable matchup in like the first round.
Favorable matchup.
In a play-in tournament or whatever.
So, I think there's a little bit of a path there. I don't think that's crazy anymore to say.
And
I really don't. I don't think it's crazy.
And also, a week ago, if you said we're going to play Sacramento in the first round or something, I'd say we're going to lose. But now I think we could have a chance because
Sacramento's in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in trouble. All right, let me get one update here. We're looking at it. Looks like Phoenix is not going to help out. No, it looks like the Pelicans are not going to help out the Lakers here. New Orleans kind of reeling here since Brandon Ingram has gone out. So they're down 10 with about a minute left to go. So Phoenix will not lose ground. They'll continue to stay in front of the Lakers. What's actually becoming interesting here is New Orleans is going to have 30 losses. So New Orleans, Sacramento, and Phoenix are going to be separated by half a game in the loss column or one game in the loss column. So
and
we'll
also see
how
they could drop into the play-in tournament too with this.
They can drop into the play-in. You're right. Damn. 16 games. There's 16 games over 500, and they're going to drop to the play-in? That's crazy. I mean, that just kind of shows how stacked the Western Conference is. Okay, everybody got a chance to, if you didn't get a chance to watch the game last night, you certainly spent some time watching highlights or listening to us or whatever the case is. LeBron was incredible yesterday. Incredible. Like there aren't too many ways to describe how good he was yesterday. He was good because he was efficient. That LeBron hit 9 of 10 from the three-point line. There was Alex Regla had pulled up these stats, and I think this just kind of shows of what he's doing at this stage of his career, and I'm talking more about just his efficiency. His 59.6% field goal percentage is his best mark since 2013. His above-the-break three-point percentage is 41%, which is a career high. His overall three-point percentage is 42%, which is a career high. Since the start of February, he's 62% from the corners and 46% overall from behind the arc. And that's some really, really good information, some really good stats there on Bron. And the only reason why I'm reading this off is because they had 9 of 10 from the three-point line yesterday. He had 40 points against the Brooklyn Nets. Just passed MJ for the most 30-point games in NBA history at 672. Jordan had 671. I think the thing, let's put all that to the side here for a quick second. A couple things happened yesterday that, a couple things happened that I thought were cool and I thought, you know, I could definitely see the appreciation and the respect from Brooklyn on seeing LeBron doing what he was doing. And then LeBron had some comments post-game show that threw me off a little bit, but makes all the sense in the world. So here's what happened during the game that was like, okay, hey, that's kind of a cool moment. Bron subs out. Lakers finally win the game. Remember, the lead that they had went from 26 all the way down to 8, and then Bron just kind of took over the game, had 17 points in the fourth quarter. The Brooklyn Nets crowd which also had a lot of Laker fans there, because Michael Thompson was telling me when we're doing the pregame show, he's like, man, this looks like a Laker home game. What the heck is going on here? So obviously a lot of Laker fans, and I think just NBA fans and even Brooklyn Nets fans. I'm sure there's a couple Knicks fans sprinkled in there. LeBron's in town. Let's go watch LeBron. He's 39 years old. Who knows how long he's going to be doing this? He's one of the greatest players to ever do it. And when he walked off the floor, there was a standing O for Bron. I thought that was just a cool moment. And what it reminded me more of anything else is we're just spoiled. And we're taking it completely for granted that Bron is a Laker, that he's still as productive as he is this late in his career. And he's one of the greatest to do it. And he only gets to play in Brooklyn once a year. So those fans are probably like, hey, how cool is this? Bron's out here. He's dropping 40. Whether they're a fan of the Brooklyn Nets or the Lakers, I don't know. But I'm sure because the Nets are so bad, there was just an appreciation to say, well, let's give this dude a stand. I mean, he put on a great show. Whether he was there representing the Lakers or the Nets, he put on a good show. Let's give him a standing go. I only mention that because I think for me personally, there was a little bit like, oh, yeah, that's right. He is one of the greatest to ever do it. And other fan bases only get to see him one night a year, and this is it for them. So they certainly had their appreciation. After the game, LeBron, I want to play some sound here for everybody, because LeBron was talking about, so the question was, you know, how much longer do you think you could do this? And we've said it plenty of times before. Okay, he's 39 years old, 21st season in the NBA. I mean, hell, there's been some conversation. There were some reports out, hey, Bron's going to be looking for an extension. Does LeBron, you know, is his son good enough to be in the NBA? If he is, will LeBron want to play with his son? He's publicly said he wants to play with his son. So I'm not even really thinking of Bron, of when his career is done and when it's over. But take a quick listen here. Here's LeBron talking about just basically how much time he has left in the league.
How long do you expect to continue playing in the NBA, LeBron? 9 out of 10 at your age and with your accomplishments, this is still like a head turner for a lot of people.
Yeah, not very long. Not very long. I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years. That's for damn sure. But not very long. I don't know when that door will close as far as when I'll retire, but I don't have much time left.
All right, that's Bron. I think that's the part right there that hit me. I don't have that much time left. I don't have that much time left. Listen, he could be talking about 5 years from now he's going to retire, or maybe in 2 years he's going to retire. But I know this, if you're averaging 25, 7, and 8, and you're still competitive to this stage, it's not like Bron is coming out there and he's putting up 8 and 10 point nights and you're like, is this guy, are we still really playing this guy? That's not the case at all. Obviously the Lakers are very dependent on all their players, but especially LeBron and Anthony Davis. He's already played 64 games this year. He's only missed 10 games this year. I mean, but something kind of sunk in just to hear him say, I don't have that much time left. That kind of pushed aside the extension talk, or is he going to play with his son talk, or, you know, would he finish his career in Cleveland, or if the Lakers don't offer him money, would he go to New York or some other market and say, okay, I'm going to go chase for a championship or something along those lines? It hit me in a sense of more of, yeah, he can't do this forever. He won't be doing this forever. And I don't know when that end will come, but, you know, nights like last night where he's dropping 40 and he's still making things happen, tries to make you kind of appreciate not just what he's doing at this age, but also you have no idea how long he's going to be able to do this for. Stephen A. Smith was talking about how this might be the best chance for Bron to win a title, or at least a chance for a title. I want to play that sound when we come back. Plus, a couple injury reports, or a couple, I guess you can call it, updates. We got a chance to see Gabe Vincent yesterday, but there's some updates on who's going to play tomorrow, who's not going to play. So let's do all that when we come back as well. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, we were talking a little bit about Braun and his special night last night, dropping 40 and 9 of 10 from the three-point line. Just ridiculous. How long is he going to do this for? I'm not sure, but I know he's here now, and I know that the Lakers obviously playing some better basketball, so we won't worry about what happens in the offseason. Really no worry or no reason to worry about that, period. I thought it was interesting earlier today on First Take. So Stephen A. was on there talking about LeBron and Lakers' chances of winning a title, or Braun's best chance to win a title. Take a listen here. Stephen A., I think it's an interesting perspective of just the Lakers' title shots and how Braun is positioned right now.
This, in my opinion, this is the last dance. With LeBron James playing the way that he's playing, I don't expect him to be better next year than he is this year.
You expect him to be worse?
I'm not saying that, but I said that I don't expect him to be better. I would not disrespect him like that. He's too great for me to assume that, because we've seen him defy father time and odds for so long. But I don't expect him to be better. I damn sure don't expect the rest of his crew to be better. And so I'm looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm like, yo, the time is now. Because guess what? Oklahoma City ain't going to get worse. Minnesota ain't going to get worse.
4-1.
Denver ain't going to get worse. Dallas ain't going to get worse.
That's the only team I'm concerned about.
Who?
The Nuggets.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. If you don't do it this year, what you think your chance is going to be next year and beyond? This is it. That's why I'm saying this question is relevant. Because to me, what I'm seeing from LeBron and what I'm seeing from the Lakers, this is it. It don't get much better for you moving forward.
I get the argument. You know, I get the argument. Here, we're sitting here talking about the Western Conference, and can you believe Oklahoma City's 30 games over 500? I get the argument of, hey, well, what's Minnesota going to be next year when they get another? And, well, by the way, let's see what happens this year. If Karl Anthony Towns comes back, I still think that team's a problem. Not enough people are talking about them. Dallas, like he was just mentioning, New Orleans looks like they have a nice young core, and they're going to be good for a little bit. Even a team like Houston, up and coming, we know they had an 11-game winning streak. There's a lot of competitive Memphis when Ja Morant comes back, and Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. It's not, and I didn't even mention Denver because there's no point for me to mention Denver. They're the best team in the Western Conference, and they're the team the entire NBA is chasing. I get his point. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's that far off when it comes to it. And listening to Shannon Sharp say, I'm only worried about Denver, I disagree with that. I mean, think about the season that the Lakers have had this year. Anthony Davis has missed 5 games. That's it. LeBron has played a 64 of 74 games. That's it. I mean, AD is about, he's on pace to probably get to about 75 games when the dust settles. We'll see what happens, but around 75 games. That's going to be one of his highest totals in his career, clearly by far his highest total as a Los Angeles Laker. So I think there is a little bit of that. Okay, well, if it's not this year, well, what's going to happen next year? How come, what makes you think that the chances for the Lakers are going to get better? Is it as simple as saying as, well, maybe Vando's going to be healthy, or maybe some of these other role players are going to be out. I don't know what's going to happen. D'Angelo Russell has a player option. There was an article, this leads me into my next conversation. Yovan Buha has been a guest of this show a number of different times, does a fantastic job for the Athletic. There was an article, and I'll read this here, of one of his quotes here. I can confirm that from multiple sources, he was on Lakers Daily with Jesse Cinquino, if I'm reading that right. I could confirm that from multiple sources, they are going third star hunting this offseason. He's talking about the Lakers. And we'll see how that affects the D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell situation. We'll see how you probably have to give up Austin Reeves in almost any third star trade. And he just goes in about how, talks about how they are, that Trae Young is a clutch client, and that might be the player that the Lakers target. They're looking for a third player. I think there's going to be swinging more for the fences as you move on, right? Swinging more. If the Lakers, if they get ousted again in the first round of the playoffs, or they have a matchup against Denver, or by the way, it doesn't have to be Denver. They could play the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Thunder are just young and have no idea what else to, they don't know any better, and they could beat the Lakers in six or seven games. Lakers can lose in the play-in tournament. So you have no idea how the season's going to end, but unless this team goes on a deep run, would you be shocked or surprised that the front office says, all right, you know what, this didn't work out, this is not working out, let's try to accommodate, or let's do what we've done in the past where we tried to go big game hunting, but they're getting a younger player rather than a Russell Westbrook when they did that. I almost wouldn't be surprised if any of those situations or predicaments. I don't agree with it. I think that the strategy does not seem to be working right now in the NBA, trying to put three, you know, stars together. And what I'm referring to there is, does Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant, does it seem like that that's been working smoothly? I don't think it has. The Clippers with James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, does that seem like it's working smoothly? Even the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, are vulnerable, if you want to call that a big three, with Chris Middleton, Dame Lillard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. It doesn't seem like that strategy is the right strategy to take, but that could definitely be the strategy that the Lakers eventually, you know, go into. I'll tell you this, I know that this was just a few years ago, but Lakers winning that championship in 2020, how they won it, was LeBron and Anthony Davis, and then it was just a bunch of really good players after that. Dwight Howard and Rajon Rondo and Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, a good mix of veterans, young players, Alex Caruso, KCP, and that JaVale McGee, that roster was stacked. Lakers had a lot of good players on that roster, and they eventually won a championship. But the reason why I kind of bring this up is because listening to Stephen A. Smith talk about how this is his best last shot to get a chance at an NBA championship, might not be wrong there. At the same time, if it doesn't happen, how would the Lakers react? How would they overreact? What would happen in the front office, or how much pressure does LeBron put on the franchise because, you know, obviously he has that player option. Now, this is probably more of a conversation for obviously after the season, and we end up seeing how the season pans out, but it is just something to keep in mind because, there's already chatter out there of what the Lakers could potentially do in the offseason. So keep that one in mind for what it's worth. Okay, so what I said, injury updates. So Gabe Vincent finally came back yesterday. Only played five games. This was his sixth game so far this season. And he is out tomorrow. So we did see a status report. I saw something from Dave McMenamin. He didn't have a setback or anything like that. I think they're just trying to manage his minutes, trying to get him to ease in and hopefully be back, not just for a game, two games, five games, but be back for the rest of the season and healthy and moving forward. I mean, the Lakers clearly put an investment into Gabe Vincent. They thought that he was going to be the right player. They clearly thought that he was going to be a key piece this season, and that's why they gave him 3 years and $33 million. But it was good to see Gabe Vincent out there. If you were expecting anything from Gabe, I think you have the wrong expectations, because you shouldn't be expecting somebody to really contribute when they haven't been gone, or they've been gone for as long as they have. But it was good to see Gabe Vincent back. No question about it. The thing I will say is the big question for me is still going to be Jared Vanderbilt. Vando is the one. It's not that I'm not valuing what Gabe Vincent can bring to the Lakers, because I know 100% there's a reason why the Lakers went out of their way to try to sign him. I love that he was a part of that championship, that finals run. He didn't get a championship, but got to the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat. I love his grittiness. I love that the guy wants to play defense. I love that the guy can hit open shots, certainly threes, but at least the Lakers in that spot, they already have D'Angelo Russell. They picked up Spencer Dinwiddie in the buyout market. So Gabe Vincent, it's not a, I don't want to call him a luxury, because I think that's not valuing him enough. But there's other areas like what Jared Vanderbilt brings to the table that I think is a necessity. And the Lakers don't have that. So the Vando piece is going to be interesting, how things obviously play from there. He was seen on the court in Brooklyn working out. First time in a while. I don't remember seeing him out on a court in a long time. So certainly they're kind of ramping him up for some type of activities. I know he hasn't been in any contact or anything like that, but it looks like they're targeting an early April return. So that's where I think I go back to what I said earlier. Are you playing good basketball and you're getting healthy at the right time? And it feels like the Lakers are starting to play good basketball. And from a health perspective, all right, one guy came back, Gabe Vincent. Okay, another guy might be back in, you know, obviously I know today's April 1st, so we'll see if that's going to be in the next couple of days or right before the season. I have no idea, so we'll have to wait to see on Jared Vanderbilt. But, man, I think he's an important player. A couple things to keep in mind for tomorrow's game. Cam Reddish out tomorrow, too, personal reasons. Jackson Hayes probable, so I know he didn't play in yesterday's game against Brooklyn. Then AD and LeBron are questionable tomorrow as well, but I'm not too worried about that because they seem to always be on that list for questionable, so I'm not too concerned about that. Okay, we do have the Phoenix game ended, so there is an update here in the standings. Lakers a game and a half behind the Sacramento Kings, but they're two games back in the loss column. Sacramento still a very tough schedule left for the remainder of the season, but the problem with the Lakers, they have the tiebreaker and they have a two-game lead on you, which is why those two games the Lakers played against the Kings were so important. So passing the Kings is still going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. Kings won a game yesterday against the Utah Jazz, so that's definitely going to still be a challenge. Phoenix is the one to me that's always seemed like the most vulnerable. Phoenix has always seemed to be the team that has been just a little all over the place. You know, I don't know what that trio is going to be with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. It's certainly not been consistent by any stretch of the imagination, and they still have the toughest schedule left in the NBA. But they got a big win against the Pelicans earlier today, so you know, something to keep in mind there. Lakers three games back from the Pelicans for number six. They're two games back behind the Suns for number seven and two games back behind the Sacramento Kings for number eight. So if the Lakers are going to move, all they could do at this point is just keep winning your games. Just keep putting pressure on those teams in front of you. And I think they've done that. But even with the Lakers, with some of their winning ways, that doesn't guarantee or lock them anything, because they could very easily still end up in that number nine spot. The goal is to get out of that number nine spot. Okay, when we come back, we got Crunch Time, Funches, DeAndre, they're going to join in. And also we'll take a look at the week ahead. There's a couple NBA stories that I want to get into as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Game coming up tomorrow. We'll preview some of these games coming up for the Lakers, what they got this week. They got four games this week. Kind of a random schedule here. They go back-to-back tomorrow and on Wednesday, a couple days off, and then back-to-back again over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. But those games are going to be at Crypto. Okay, we started this last week. We're doing some NBA stories. Let's hit the open here for Crunch Time. All right, Funch, what do you got over there, bud?
All right, the most pressing news today, according to multiple reports, Joel Embiid is coming back tomorrow versus the OKC Thunder after being out since late January after knee surgery. Now, the 76ers are currently in the eighth spot in the East.
Oof.
How is this going to affect the Sixers and the East right now if Embiid comes back?
Let's just pretend that this is what it ends up being. 1 through 8 is 1 through 8. Miami is 7. Philly is 8. So the Boston Celtics, who are about, I think, 180 games in front of the Milwaukee Bucks,
yeah,
they get Embiid and Philly in the first round.
But, they, you know, the thing
Miami,
is that he might not be healthy. He might
Miami
be 70%.
Miami goes Milwaukee in the first round. That's crazy to me. Now, anyways, we'll see how it plays out. Couple ways to look at this. Philly has completely cratered since Embiid left, which tells you just how valuable, obviously, Joel Embiid
they're
is to that team.
They were literally like number three in the East.
They were number three. I think even at a point, I want to say
number
they might have been number two.
Yeah.
Did you say, what'd you say he's going to be what percentage?
He might be like a 70% or 80% when he comes back tomorrow. You never know. I mean, I don't think he's going to be 100%.
Well, I think it's going to take some time, right? So if he comes back tomorrow, let's say they got 6-7 games and then you're in the play-in. I don't know, man. I think Embiid is such a baller, and I think they wouldn't bring him back unless they thought he was good to go, because, you know, why are you going to risk Joel Embiid? Just too important of a franchise player. But think they're gonna, you know, what kind of damage can they do? If they take on Milwaukee, maybe they can make it an interesting series, but I don't know. That Boston's just been absolutely balling, and I like Philly's team. I like their roster, but this late in the game, DeAndre, can they make some noise? What do you think?
I don't know if they'll be able to make some noise, but I mean, Embiid helps, right? I mean, he's a star player. I mean, I don't see them honestly advancing anywhere past the first round if they weren't out to play him.
How about this? If Philly got Cleveland in the first round, I would tell you, okay, hey, you know what? That Philly can beat them. If Philly got Orlando or any of these teams, but for him to just come back and he gets Milwaukee or Boston, that's going to be tough. Funch, that's going to be tough,
also,
man.
Like,
I don't know how they can make
too
much
noise. Can I play conspiracy theory too?
Sure.
Some people,
love
some insiders theory. And stuff, like they think that Embiid's coming back too quickly, and the only reason why he's coming back is because he wants to play in the Olympics this summer. Or else he would have just took the whole year off.
But what does that have? So let me ask you this. What does that have to do with, can he come back? Let's say he didn't come back the rest of the season, but then in 3 months he was ready to go for the Olympics. Can he still come back for the Olympics?
I don't know if that's a good look, too. If you're going to be out for the Sixers, you know, for the rest of the year and then come back in the summer to play for Team USA, I think it's a bad look.
All right, I'm team Embiid. I want to see him come back, and I hope he can make a little bit of noise there.
Yeah, I want to see him at least give Boston a good series because I'm not a big Boston believer. I think they can be beat.
Did you guys see the quotes from Josh Hart yesterday talking about there was a Thunder and New York and Knicks lost the game by one, another just really good game. And Josh Hart said that he'd be pleasantly surprised if OG Anunoby and Julius Randle return. I'll be honest here. I'm not I got no affiliation to the New York Knicks, but damn, this is as good of a season. They actually look like they're a team that can be – they're going to be a problem in the playoffs. And for them, if OG Anunoby – and by the way, both of them got to be there. OG Anunoby and Julius Randle got to be there. This is the part of sports that I hate the most is when you never get to see a team be fully healthy. It sounds like Knicks are going to run into something like this too.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of the Knicks, did you see that game over the weekend where Jalen Brunson had 61? In the game.
61, this is the Spurs.
The Spurs, yes.
And the Knicks, right?
Yes, and Wimby on the other side had 40 and 20. What do you think is a better performance?
40 and 20 or 61 from Brunson?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know the rest of the stats. I don't know how many shots he took. I don't know any of that. But Jalen Brunson looks like he's 5'9". And is dropping 60 on guys, and I feel like he's been just an incredible, incredible player this year. I'll give the edge to Brunson on this one. I think that's a more impressive performance. Now, Wemby is doing his thing, and this man looks like he's about to take over the league starting next year. But I give Brunson the edge on that one.
I don't know, man. To do it, I don't know, 40 and 20 is, you know, I like 40 and 20.
You know what's crazy? Wemby's almost becoming like this is getting normal. Like, it's starting to become normal where he's got a game where he's got 30 and 10 and 5 and 5. Like, those are starting to happen with Wemby, and look how young he is. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
DeAndre, what do you think?
I'm with Funch, man. 40 and 20 it's really impressive. And how
why do you guys hate Jalen Brunson?
I don't hate Jalen Brunson.
No, what he should Brunson be first team all NBA if he could.
Exactly, but it's just the way Wemby plays. I mean, that's impressive as a big man.
DeAndre, he's 4 feet taller than Brunson.
I mean, but still, I mean, he takes dudes off the dribble. He brings the ball up. He does a lot of things.
Stupid. No, he's ridiculous. Wemby's ridiculous.
I just looked up Brunson's shooting stats. 25 for 47 that night.
What was it? Say it again.
25 for 47.
Bro, shot over 50%.
Yeah, but 47 shots. 61 points, though, you know?
Yeah, that's stupid. By the way, the numbers being thrown out in the NBA, I don't know if you guys... when you guys see a 50-point performance, is it... still like, oh my gosh,
no.
or do you have some hesitation? Like, yeah, I guess this happens more often in
the
NBA.
I think 60 is a new 50 now.
60
is a new 50.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Mm. You're probably right about that. Okay, good stuff, Funches. I know we got a couple previews here to a couple games coming up, so let me just kind of talk a little bit real quick about what the Lakers got the rest of the week. So still 4 more games left for the Lakers. Looking here, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, it is a little bit of a funky schedule. This is not normal, but they got 4 games, only 7 games left on the season. And we've kind of talked about all the different scenarios that are there. please do me a favor and just take care of these next two games. I don't want to hear, you know, if anybody wants to make any excuses for the Lakers right now and say, ah, you know what, they're playing three games in four nights, please nobody try to make that case. The two teams they got coming up tomorrow and on Wednesday, one team is 23-51. What are they, 28 games below 500, which is Toronto. They've lost 13 games in a row, have the Raptors. They're not playing any of their guys, by the way. Scotty Barnes, a couple other of their key players just haven't been in the lineup. So no excuse there. The Wizards one, actually, in a weird way, is kind of interesting because Lakers and Wizards had a game, what was that now, a couple months ago, or maybe about a month ago or so at Crypto. And the Wizards took the Lakers to overtime, almost beat them in OT. But there's no excuse for the Lakers. Go handle business against those two teams. And then when you come back Saturday and Sunday, you actually got two good teams waiting for you. You got Cleveland on Saturday, early start 12:30. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves on a Sunday night game. So a little funky the way that schedule works out there. But four games for the Lakers. Can you go 3-1 the rest of the week? I think 3-1, you're continuing to put pressure on all those other teams, but I know this. The game tomorrow and the game Wednesday, no excuses. Lakers got to handle business there. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to DeAndre, to Mario, to Cody, everybody in the background there. LA, as always, have a great rest of your night.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.